Wake up. It's the Morning Motivation with Brittany Daniel.
Good morning, good morning, good morning, Grand Rising and Rise and Shine. To all of you out there today, I hope you guys are well. Welcome to the Morning Motivation. I'm your host, Brittany Daniel. If you guys are new, go ahead in the comment box in the description. Let me know where you guys are from. Thank you so much for joining me today. I hope you guys are having a beautiful and blessed day. Let's bring you guys down a little bit. Hope you guys had a really good weekend. What did I do? I ended up going to Mimosa's, Marketing and Mimosa's yesterday with my good friend Kirsten King, and it was a really, really good event. I've been really networking and meeting a lot of people. I highly recommend you guys, now that, you know, people have gotten vaccinated and all that good stuff, get out there and start networking and meeting people, and because you never know how meeting somebody and having a conversation, they can just give you so much game, so many gems, and it elevates your business. It elevates your mindset. It can elevate, depending on what you're into and where you're at in your career, it can definitely help you elevate and get to the next level. And that's what I've been doing recently. Like, normally if I go out now, it's always for a purpose. So I highly, highly, highly recommend, if you say you don't have a whole lot of friends, if you say that, you know, you're trying to get to another level in business or whatever, your circle really, really does matter. Your network is your net worth. So make sure you are making those connections. You're meeting new people. You can still have your old friends, but change up some things, meet some new people, get some different perspectives in your life, because you will be surprised how rewarding it can be meeting new people and just having like a 30-minute conversation. Man, I learned so much. So that's my weekend in a nutshell. So I hope you guys did anything exciting. If you did, go ahead and leave it in the comments, or if it's something that you want to share. But happy Monday. It is April 11th. Ooh, it's tax time on next Monday. So y'all better get y'all taxes together if you have not already in America. But we are going to continue. We have a few more lessons from 9 Things Successful People Do Differently. We did give this book away last week. Ms. Patrice won this book. So congratulations. And we will do another. I don't know if this book continues out until Friday, but I'll let you guys know if this is going to be the book for this Friday's giveaway. So, 9 Things Successful People Do Differently. We are on chapter 6, Have Grit. So this chapter is all about how to be persistent. So we're going to dive into that. Let's do our morning prayer. Going to get into our morning shout out. So go ahead and load up the comments. And if you are new and this is your first time watching, please let me know where you're watching from. You guys, please don't forget to hit the subscribe button. Give this these videos a thumbs up. It really, really helps me. It helps the YouTube algorithm know that you guys like these videos. Every time you comment, every time you like, every time you share, every time you tell somebody about it, it really, really helps this platform, helps me out so much, and I would greatly appreciate it. So if you can, do not forget to hit the subscribe button, and let's jump into our morning prayer. If you are not spiritual or religious, it's totally okay. Or if you have a different religious background, you are still welcome here. We do not discriminate on the Morning Motivation, but we always want to honor God within our day. So this is how we do it together. So if you don't mind, I hope I can pray for you anyway. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much again for waking us up for another day. Whew. I just want that to sink in for a second. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Father, for another day. Thank you for allowing us to wake up again and fellowship and learn from one another. Thank you for my constant supporters. Like, they are amazing. And I pray blessings onto their lives. I pray for wisdom, discernment. If they have any obstacles that come face their way that today, Lord, that you slay, they could slay it like a dragon, you know, they can slay the dragon, and they can cross over any hurdles or any barriers that are going to stand in their way, and that they align with your purpose, and that they do all things that are pleasing in your sight. In your darling son Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Stumbled over my words. What I was trying to say is that if you guys have any obstacles today, that you guys can get through them and slay that dragon if anything were to happen, because life, we all know life is life, and life happens. So we got to get through those obstacles. And the way we get through them, in my personal perspective, is through God. Okay. So let's go to the morning shout outs. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning, She Amber. Good morning, Edwan. Good morning, Being Meech. Good morning, Chador. Good morning, Destiny. Good morning. Good morning, English Motivator. Good morning, Dia Dia. Good morning. I am from India. Here is evening now. Good evening. Good evening to you. All the way from India. Wow. That's crazy. Good morning, Felicia. Good morning, Anana. I'm glad to be back after the first week of work on site. Woo. Everybody's going back to the office. I pray for y'all. Okay. Good morning, Turquoise. Good morning. We're in America. Oh, I'm in America. I'm in Atlanta. Good morning, Clay. Good morning, Key Amber. Good morning, Charlene. Went to the gardening shop and brought some strawberries, basil, and some peppers. Ooh, Key Amber had an eventful weekend. That sounds good. And some plants. Good morning, Anaya. Good morning, such a lady. Good morning, cooking with Ra. Good morning. I've been cruising for the past week. Okay, dear. Go ahead, girl. Good morning, Amita. Good morning, Vanessa. Good morning, hallelujah, blessings, and good morning, Brandy. How are you guys? So this week we are talking about grit. Edwan, thank you. Finally figured out the super chat. I appreciate that. Thank you. You guys, yes, super chats are very, very appreciated and helpful. So if you guys want to do a super chat donation, if you have something to say in the midst of everything, leave a super chat and I can see you and say your comment immediately. Good morning, Jessica. Good morning. And don't forget to follow the Facebook page of Morning Motivation. I have some exciting things planned. You guys, just give your girl a second. I'm trying to work some things behind the scenes. A lot of things are going to shape and form. It just takes a little time. So thank you guys for all of your patience with that. But this book is really, really good. We've been talking about a lot of aspects of success in 9 things successful people do differently. And I say this every day. I love this book because there are so many things that I think that a lot of motivational books or self-help books keep out. And 9 things successful people do differently really hit the mark when it comes to when it comes to a whole lot of different aspects in just success and getting to the next level, whatever that may be for you. And I really want to reiterate this again, because I've been having this conversation a lot with people. You have to get super, super, super clear. We've already talked about that. So for those of you who were here, we talked about getting clear. But really get clear with what you want to do. Really have a goal in mind, either long term, short term. You can have a plethora of goals, but really, really, really understand and get very clear on what you want. Because this is going to determine how you stay in the fight, how you have grit is what the, I know today's topic is how to be persistent. It's the same thing pretty much, but the chapter is called How to Have Grit. And in order for you to fight through a lot of the obstacles that are going to come your way, that you're going to face, it's inevitable. We're all human. We're all trying to succeed at something. And God did not promise us a perfect life. And a lot of those obstacles are there to help us grow, help us learn, help us see where we're lacking in some areas, where we may need to improve in other areas. It could be self-improvement. It could be about setting boundaries with friends, family, and strangers. There could be a gamut of different things that can come our way. But the way that we're going to stay in the fight for sure is if we know exactly what we want to do. And, you know, when we pray, we ask God for direction. We ask God for clarity. We ask God to help us through these things. It's imperative that we're not wasting that energy on something that we truly don't want to do, we truly don't desire, or we haven't given ourselves a little time to figure out if that's something that we do want to do, if we're trying it new for the first time. So I can go down a rabbit hole with getting clear. We don't want to do that again because we've already done that. Good morning, Patrice. Good morning, Authenticating Beauty, Jessica. We don't want to go through that again, but really, really, really get clear. Be very focused on what it is that you want. And it can be very hard with social media, especially here in America, and seeing everybody's lives, like I always say, and getting inspired, or you might meet somebody that's doing something really cool. But when you really get clear and you get focused and you get determined on exactly what you want to do, then when those thoughts or emotions come about, then you can stay focused and keep trekking along. Okay. So getting back to the book, it says, have grit. That's chapter 6. We're on chapter 6 now. And if you guys want to see the other chapters, then they're on Morning Motivation they're on Morning Motivation. Okay. So grit is a willingness to commit to long-term goals and to persist in the face of difficulty. Studies show that gritty people obtain more education in their lifetime and earn higher college GPAs. Grit persists with candidates Okay, I don't want to read. I didn't want to read that part because it really had nothing to do with what we're talking about. So basically, it's grit is the willingness to commit to a long-term goal and persist in the face of difficulty. Continue to push forward even when difficult times happen because it's going to happen. Like I said, it's inevitable, right? It says people who lack grit are more often than not believe that they just don't have the innate abilities to be successful or that successful people have. So he mentioned earlier in the book that effort, planning, and persistence and good strategies are what really takes to succeed. Embracing this knowledge will not only help you see yourself and your goals more accurately, but also do wonders with your grit. So remember, last week we talked about making sure that we're putting in the right amount of effort, we're planning, we're persistent, and we have good goal strategies in order to succeed, knowing that it's not going to just be what we know, our abilities, that we can build off of them. So it says here, it says there are two different types of people, pretty much. This is research by Stanford psychologist Carol Dweck reveals that people subscribe to two theories about the nature of their abilities. You guys, listen to this. This is very key. Good morning, you guys. Very key. And you tell me which two theories you fall under. Okay. So it says entity theorists believe that their abilities are fixed, right? So entity theorists believe their abilities are fixed more often than not innate. So this means that these people, the entity theorists, believe that I was born like this. This is how I am. I was born with these abilities. I was born with the way I was made, the way I think, the abilities that I have, the things that I know, it's fixed. That's it. Like God gave me exactly what I have now. And I can't build off of them. That's what that theorist, the entity theorist, thinks. It says they expect their performance to be relatively stable, so they don't believe that they can improve. They believe like, hey, if I'm a C student, I'm a C student. Remember when people say, that's just how I am. That's what fixed entity theorists feel. They feel like this is just who I am. In other words, you have just so much intelligence or creativity or charm, and then there isn't anything you can do about it. They are initially wrong. The ability doesn't work that way. Okay, so if this is you, listen to this, right? So that's one theorist. What is this? The incremental theorist, on the other hand, believes that the ability is malleable, that it can and does change with effort and experience. And according to the evidence, they are perfectly right. You can get more ability if you want more. All you need is grit. So it's basically saying that nobody is fixed. You can always learn more. You can always, continue your abilities to continue to gain knowledge, to continue to grow and measure up and level up in whatever area that you feel that you need to. So just because you were born one way, or just because you think one way, or just because you were surrounded in an environment one way, that all it takes is the right strategy to work yourself into leveling up. So Edwan, so according to this book, you are wrong. You do not have a set fixed abilities. I do believe that God gives a certain gifts and talents that just come naturally to us, but I do believe you still have to work towards them. There is a saying that hustle beats talent when talent doesn't hustle. You can be born with the gift to sing, but if you don't have the right strategy behind, and you want to be a singer and you don't have the right strategy behind it, you don't, go to the right cities and meet the right people, then your chances of being a singer in a small town are likely more than not, right? Because yeah, you have the ability, but your strategy is all wrong. And that's what the book is talking about. The book is saying that there are people that feel like they have fixed abilities, and there are people that feel like, you know what? I can learn more. I can grow. I can become better in this aspect. And initially, they have more grit to do so because that's what they believe. So be very careful. Remember, we talk about the narratives that we tell ourselves. If you tell yourself that, oh, I'm just a smoker, or oh, I'm always late, or whatever story or narrative that you tell yourself, you're going to believe that. So be very careful with that. Make sure you pay attention to the stories that you tell yourself. So if you're dating and you're single, oh, I'll never find somebody, or, you know, all men are like this, or all women are like this. Whatever story you tell yourself, that's how it's going to show up in your life. That's what you're going to pay attention to. That's what is going to be in the forefront of your mind. You're not going to see anything else. You can be in a room full of handsome, eligible men, but if you tell yourself in your mind that all men are dogs, no, men don't treat women right, all men are the same, then that's going to be your experience, because you're going to exude that energy. You're going to have that mental thought process. Everything is going to be fixed. So you have to be very careful with those theories that you tell yourself. Kiki says, yes, LeBron James still has to practice. KK Grand Rising. Whatever your story you tell yourself is your reality. Absolutely true. Your perception of the world, your perception of, you know, what is reality. I was talking to somebody close to me, and we were talking about family members, you know, and this is the thing where why I always tell y'all to go back and read the four agreements that we read together. And we talked about it, right? Me and you had a conversation about it if you were here that week. But the thing about it is, when somebody tells you something is one thing, but when you read it and take it in for yourself, it's a whole nother thing. Like when I sit down and read these books for y'all, it imprints in my mind way different than when I speak it to you guys and I tell you. So I highly recommend everybody get the book, The Four Agreements, and really read that chapter on not taking anything personal. That chapter has shown me so much with people's own perception. Say if me and you got into a physical altercation, right? And everything was all said and done. And she, Amber, was like, hey, Brittany, what happened? My story is going to be probably totally different, or have different aspects and different reality points than Patrice's, you know, her stance on what happened. And we could be having the same issue or the same incident at the same time and have two totally different perspectives, recollections of the incident, different, you know, theories. Heck, I could have had issues with Patrice for months and I never said anything. Or Patrice could be like, I don't know, Brittany's crazy. She just came out of nowhere and hit me in my face. Do you understand what I'm saying? That's an extreme example. I would never do that. And Patrice, I love you dearly. I would never do that. But people can be in the same experience and have two totally different outcomes. That's why we have to be very careful and not to play the victim mentality when things happen to us in life, when we deal with like family members and friends and situations, because when we think that, why did they do this to me? Why did, you know, how could they do that to me? 9 times out of 10, they weren't thinking about you. They were thinking about what they needed to do in that moment for whatever reason for themselves. And although that is selfish, that's how every single person in this world operates dang near, right? You are always going to do what's best for you in any incident. You're always going to think about yourself first, because it's human law. It's human nature. You know, it's survival of the fittest. Self-preservation is above all else. So you're going to, by nature, it's not making you selfish, it's not a bad thing, but by nature, you're going to only have your experience, and nobody else is going to have your experience. So like I said, if me and Patrice get into an altercation, right, or me and Patrice get into an argument, let's just say that, right? And Patrice calls me big head. I don't know. She calls me a name, right? The reason why she called me a name has nothing to do with me. You know, it's whatever she stirred up in her spirit or her mind that made her want to say it, maybe to hurt me, maybe to whatever her perception is at that time to say what she had to say. Even if my head was big, had nothing to do with me. And I know that that's kind of hard for some people to understand, because they were like, well, you probably provoked her. You probably said something. And all of that could be true. But whatever she said and how she said it and why she said it was all because of how she felt, and vice versa. If we were getting into an altercation and I said something or I didn't say anything, it has nothing to do with the other person, has everything to do with me. So we have to get out of this mentality that everybody cares so much about us. And I know that that sounds so morbid and so like, but when you really get that into, when you really see life like that, when you take absolutely nothing personally, because everybody's decisions have nothing to do with you. They're not doing anything to you. unless they're really trying to plot, then they have some others, they have other issues going on. And that is also a reflection of them and how insecure they are and how deceptive they are because of everything that's going on in their world and in their life and in their perception and their mind. Do you understand? So the quicker we get this aspect into our brains and into our DNA, you will live life a lot, like a lot lighter, because you will no longer care about people's perception. You'll start caring more so about your own and how God sees you. Because at the end of the day, the way you see yourself and the way you think about things and the way you go about things and if you have a mindset of, hey, this is how I am, or hey, I can grow, that is the only thing that's going to be true, right? 50 million people can say a bad thing about me. If 50 million people can come on my channel and say, oh, Brittany, you're mean, or whatever the case may be, none of those opinions matter until I believe that they're true. The moment I believe that they're true is when it starts affecting me. You know, do you get what I mean? So whatever I perceive in my life is my reality. If I felt like, oh, Brittany, you know, you're not a good speaker, you know, if I beat myself up in my head and I said all these, like, you know, toxic things to myself, that's what I'm going to believe. But if I believe like, hey, kid up, keep going, I can keep growing my abilities, all of the positive things, right, that we talk about, then my grit grows, then I grow as a person, and I don't allow outside factors affect me. Now, we're human, so things may hurt, things may hit below the belt, but initially, it's because that's how I feel about myself, really. But I mean, we're human, so we do care to a certain extent what people think. But I want to really, really challenge y'all, if you have not read the book, The Four Agreements, to read that book, because it does 100% help you let go of that victim mentality of, why did they do that to me? I can't believe they did that to me. Because 9 times out of 10, if you ask that person why they did what they did, they may not have even a recollection of it. They may not have even remembered or even thought that you cared. I'm gonna give you guys one more example before we go back to the book. So I remember when I talked to you guys earlier this year about an issue that happened in 2021 between me and somebody else. Actually, I didn't even know it happened between me and somebody else. There was something that happened. I got caught up in the drama, never again, right? Got caught up in the drama. And this happened, I think, in like November, October. It happened in October. The person didn't approach me with their issue until January. I thought the issue was over. It was all said and done. I had spoke to the people that I needed to speak to about it. I was living my best life, didn't really blink to or think about the situation. And the person was like, hey, I felt this way about you. I thought that you were a shady person and all these things. And I was just like, why didn't you say anything earlier? Or, you know, so that's why you really can't hold grudges and hold this animosity towards people, because 9 times out of 10, they have no idea what you're going through, what's in your mind, unless you tell them, you know what I mean? So that's why we have these morning conversations. That's why I say, let things go. That's why I say, don't have a victim mindset. That's why I say, resolve your issues, because you can be boiling hot at someone and having an issue with someone for months, and they have no idea, nor do they have a care in the world, nor do they, nothing can like rock them. Or you could not even be a thought in their mind. So if you have an issue, if there's something that's going on in your life, address it with that person. Don't talk about it. Don't, you know, because when you talk about it, it just makes things bigger than it needs to be. Go to that person, have a conversation, let it go. Or if that conversation is not feasible or cannot happen, or that person's not mature enough to have the conversation, then heal on your own. You know, every situation does not deserve enough. Everybody's not going to get an apology for, if a person is willing to apologize, then cool. Sometimes people just apologize to get it off their chest or just to make you feel better. But, you know, don't always seek that. Don't always seek that apology. You know, I watch some reality shows and these women will go be mad at each other for months and stir up all these drama for months. And all they want is an apology. I'm like, you're mad because you didn't get an apology? Like, y'all, everybody that's did us wrong or hurt our feelings is not going to apologize. So we have to heal on our own and let that go. Let me go to the comments and see what you guys are talking about. Already read She Amber's comment. Good morning, you guys. Edwan says, what if it's coming from your parents? Like, mom tells me that some women ain't good for me because they are users and take advantage of me. Now, I will say that when it comes to stuff like this, if you have a decent relationship with your parent and you know that your family members or your friends really genuinely have your best interest at heart, sometimes they can see things that you can't because you like somebody or you love someone. So not everybody's a hater. Not everybody's trying to, you know, sabotage your happiness. We got to get that narrative out of our minds as well. Everybody is not up there worried about how they can make your life miserable. That's normally not what's happening. For me, and I'll give you a perfect example, Edwan. When I met my honey, I was like, I like you too much. I need to get a man's perspective because some men can really woo women, right? Some men can be very charming, but to another man, and especially a man who's done dirt, they can spot a dog or somebody shady a mile away, right? So my idea was, let me see if he can pass the test through my dad, then he's a keeper. That was my perspective. And if you're not close to your dad or you have a male friend, bring your significant other around your male friend to see if he can see anything shady. So that was my test. Sorry, honey. Well, he knows. But that was my test. I was like, I like you too much. So let's see if you're as genuine as you say you are. I didn't tell him that, but that's what was in my mind. Let's see if you really this genuine. Let's see if you could pass the dad test. So I brought him around my dad because my dad can sniff out if a man is playing me, if he's shady, if he really has a... Men aren't really good around other men in that aspect. Does you get that, Edwan? So if your mom is telling you that somebody might not be good for you, she might see something in that person that you may not see. So that's something you want to take a note of. If your mom genuinely loves you and you know she has your best interest at heart, then you might want to listen because sometimes love, we can be blinded by love and what other people say. But at the end of the day, if there's no evidence of that, it's still your life. You have to make the best decision for you because, you know, at the end of the day, you're going to be with that person. So I listen to my family members and my friends when they say people are shady because I know that they have my best interests at heart and I know they're not feeding me garbage. But if you don't trust that, then, you know, you got to do what you got to do for yourself. Turquoise says, Patrice, sorry to use you as an example, girl. Patrice says, I read The Four Agreements years ago and still one of my favorite books. I purchased another copy. Yes, The Master of Self last week. I got to read that book. That sounds so good. Sorry, Patrice. Brandy says, I'm reading The Four Agreements right now, and it's such a great book. It really is, you guys. It really changes your perspective on how you see the world and how you think others see you. 9 times out of 10, we have so much anxiety and so much mental chatter about how other people feel and how other people think, when 9 times out of 10, they're not thinking about us at all. That's the crazy part. You know, we have these made up scenarios and stories in our minds and we can be going crazy and somebody ain't even thinking about us. Yeah. Okay, good. Good. I love The Four Agreements. Good morning, Percy. I read the bio of Les Brown and students used to call him the dumb twin. He had a twin brother and agreed with him until he met a teacher who helped him change his self-image. Absolutely. And you'll hear a lot of this. Like, there's a lot of people who, like, I have dyslexia. I have a learning disability. And I really made a real effort at a young age to say, I'm not letting that stop me. I'm just as smart as everybody else. I'm not going to let this hold me back. This is something that makes me different. But I was very firm, for whatever reason, in my mentality that I'm not allowing anybody to penetrate me. So, like, penetrate my mind or anything stop me. So I continue to grow, learn, read, whatever I had to do to just improve myself. So getting back to the book. Persistence is the commitment to long-term goals. Y'all, grit. Persistent. So it says grit in the sense of that psychologists use this term is persistence and commitment to long-term goals. That's what grit is, okay? Study after study of successful people, whether they are athletes, musicians, mathematicians, and inventors, show that the key to success An enhanced ability is deliberate practice. The key to success and enhanced ability is deliberate practice. Thousands and thousands of hours spent mastering the necessary skills and knowledge. That kind of practice doesn't happen without grit. So that's why, like I said in the beginning of the message, is that we have to be very clear with what we want, because when we know what we want, there's nothing that's going to stop us from getting there. Or, you know, even if we have a hard time, even if we have a roadblock, even if we hit a wall, we're going to continue to persist. We're going to continue to go through those hurdles and get over what we need to get over. So it says, grit is all about not giving up in the face of difficulty, even when you're tired or discouraged or just plain bored, you know, because no matter what we want to do, we can have our dream jobs. There's going to be aspects about it that we don't like. We can do what we love every day. And there's always going to be aspects of something that we may not want to do, or, you know, nothing's going to be perfect. Let's just say that. And it says entity theorists who are convinced that their ability is fixed tend to blame setbacks on lack of ability. If this is hard for me, I must not be good at it. As a result, they lack grit. They give up on themselves way too soon, inadvertently reinforcing their mistaken belief that they can't improve. Incremental theorists, on the other hand, oh, that's what the word was, incremental. See y'all? Still dyslexic. Incremental theorists, on the other hand, tend to blame setbacks on more controllable factors, insufficient effort, using the wrong strategies, poor planning. When faced with difficulty, they try harder, armed with the belief that improvement is always possible. This gritty attitude pays off in a big way, leading to far greater long-term accomplishments. Increasingly, recent research suggests that entity theorists not only lack the grit needed to improve, but actually find improvement to be often unconsciously anxiety-provoking because they believe it shouldn't be possible. So the book is saying that when you truly believe that you don't have the ability for something, it can cause anxiety when you are faced with, like, if somebody, okay, say if you feel like you can't do something, you can't sing. No, that's a bad one, because I do feel like people have to get lessons and things like that. Well, I'll take that for example. Yes. So say, for instance, that you're young and you can't naturally sing, right? And you believe in your mind that there's nothing that you can do to improve your voice. There's nothing you can do to learn, because you can really learn how to sing. I have a family member, when she was young, she didn't have the natural ability to sing. And through singing lessons, now she's dang near, she's a vocalist and does, like, you know, national anthems and all types of stuff. She's really, really good now. But when she was younger, she didn't have that natural ability, but her parents kept her in singing lessons, and now she can sing. But if that same person or her parents were just like, hey, if she would have said, like, hey, I want to sing, and they're like, well, you can't sing naturally, so we're not going to invest in that, she would have never had that ability to sing. But what it's saying here is that because we already fix things in our mind that we can't do, and when we're told that we can or we're forced to do it, it creates anxiety. So if you feel like, I'm not going to finish this paper, I'm not going to get this job, and somebody's like, no, that there's a way that you can do it, and you still believe that you can't, that's when anxiety comes up. So a lot of times what the book is saying is anxiety is provoked by something triggering your non-belief, if that makes any sense. It's really hard to it's really hard to explain, but I'm gonna keep reading. It says, the more anxiety they felt, the worse they performed in the third set of problems that followed. So the book gives you a short story of people who took two exams, people who thought that their natural abilities were fixed, and people that felt that their natural abilities weren't fixed. And it says, everyone who improved was happy they had done so, but the entity theorists, the ones who felt like they couldn't improve, believing that they really shouldn't have improved, also reported a significant increased anxiety because the story that they told themselves was not honored. The more anxiety they felt, the worse they performed in the third set of problems that followed. But the theorists who were told that they didn't improve did better on their third set for those who hadn't that did something like that. When we don't expect to improve, does this mean that we're actually preferring not to improve? And it says it wouldn't. The book's saying, let me slow down because I'm excited. So what the book is asking, it says, so when we don't expect to improve, does this mean that we actually prefer not to improve? And the book says, I don't want to go that far. Everyone welcomes improvement. Everyone welcomes improvement, but only the entity theorist does that improvement comes with anxiety. So when you believe that you truly can't do something and somebody's telling you to improve, either you have to study for a test or you have to do something again. So say you're getting a real estate exam, perfect example. I don't know what the other examples were. When you are studying for your real estate exam, right? And you believe that whatever your abilities are at that point, you can't get better, you know, and you take the test and you fail. Because you want to be a real estate agent, you know you have to pass this exam in order to practice real estate. If you believe that you can't and you're forced to continue to study so you can improve, then I said that's where anxiety kind of comes and stirs its ugly head, is because you've already psyched yourself out and told yourself that I cannot improve in this. I'm being forced to improve. I don't think I can improve. So anxiety starts building up. That's the best example I think I can give. But it says the anxiety turns, in turn, undermines future performance and eroding your confidence, and that improvement was ever actually real. Basically, like, even when they do improve, they still feel like, well, was I supposed to improve? So I'm going to finish reading this and I'm going to go to your comments. We got one more page left. It says the bottom line is no matter what kind of learning opportunities you are given, you're probably aren't going to see lasting improvement if deep down you believe improvement is possible. Bottom line, read that again. No matter what kind of learning opportunities you are given, you probably aren't going to see lasting improvement if deep down you don't believe improvement is possible. If you don't believe improvement is possible, you just won't have the grit for it. If improvement isn't possible, it makes no sense to try, especially when it's going to be tough. Believing your ability is fixed becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy, and the self-doubt is created with sabotage and will sabotage you in the end. To be successful and truly make the most of your potential, it's critical to examine your beliefs and, when necessary, challenge them. Change really is always possible, and science here is crystal clear. There is no ability that can't be developed with experience. The next time you find yourself thinking, but I'm just not good at this, remember, you're just not good at it yet. So, book the knot. I love this. That was really, 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 really insightful. So really, you have the keys to what you believe. You have the keys to what you believe. So make sure that when we're going after our goals, when we're trying to do things, you leave room to allow yourself to learn. You allow yourself. That's all you have to do, is the ability to know that, hey, I can improve in this. Yes, I might not have passed the test the first time. Excuse me. But I can improve. Yes, I might not have this skill, but I can improve. Yes, I did this wrong one time, or I was doing this wrong all these years, but I can improve. Just like dating. I was doing dating wrong for so long and I improved. You know, it goes with everything that you want to do. So don't ever think that things are fixed, that you're doomed, that you will never get better, that things can't turn around. It may just be the strategy that we're using at that time just isn't the right one. So we have to rework it, refix it, know that we can make those improvements and improve. So let's see. Let's go back to no problem. Let's see. Where did I stop? Yes, I did that with my ex-fiance and brought her over to my sister's house. And my sis said that she was shady, but I took my ex-fiance around a male and he said, ain't nothing wrong. I mean, men, when it comes to that, Edwan, I don't know. You have to follow your gut and follow your instincts and what you feel, because everybody's not right, but it just depends. What is the name of the book? So this is 9 things successful people do differently. 9 things successful people do differently. Clay said, I'm just like that. We have to let go of what we think other people think about us, y'all. We really do. Thank you for sharing this. No problem, Vanessa. Amber says, I used to babysit this girl that had dyslexia and she was always blaming her condition and not reading properly and wanting to learn. She was super smart, but she just didn't believe. She was 8. Oh, yeah, that's the issue with, you know, and then depending on what her parents tell her too. Yeah, but that can be very it could be very debilitating. Let's see. Amber says, I wish she would have learned in, excuse me, I wish I would have learned this early. Wait, I wish she would learn in the early. She is setting herself up for failure and telling herself that over and over, you know. Yeah. I mean, but everybody, some people come to terms with certain things at a certain time in their lives. So, you know, good morning, new viewer. Hello, how are you? Where are you from? Let me know if you guys are first time watchers. Thank you for watching The Morning Motivation. Today we read out of 9 things successful people do differently, how to have persistence, basically how to save grit, which was chapter 6. Very short read. Highly recommend. Highly recommend. Let's see. Yes, singing is a muscle. And once you train your muscle, you can sing to the best of your ability. Anything is possible. So if there's anything that we want to do, there's a lesson out there. There is, training. There is, you always can find a way to improve your ability. You can always find a way to improve your ability. But if you believe that you cannot, as the book suggests, if you believe that you cannot enhance your abilities, make yourself better, then you won't. Okay, then you won't. Because as a man thinketh, so is he. As a man thinketh, so is he. And one said, yes, I brought my ex-fiance around my, and she felt like she was shady. And my sister put stuff in my head and turned my ex-fiance, but I took around my mouth. Oh, you already told me. I got you, Edwin. I've had so many people doubt me because I'm quiet and move differently. I almost believed it because maybe they saw something that I didn't see, but I had to remember what I know about myself. Absolutely. That's why it's so important that before you leave your house in the morning, you know who you are. You will have a firm stance of who you are, what you believe in, what you know, because once you know who you are and once you have a clear vision of yourself, then anything anybody else says about you is irrelevant because they don't know you like you know yourself. You're your number one line of defense. You're your own best friend. So how is somebody going to tell you about your friend if that's you? Let's see. Name the author of the book. I'm searching my local library. Haiti Grant. Here, let me. It's this. Heidi Grant Halverson. There you go. That is the book right there. Yes, I'm studying for a quiz now and I'm getting a little frustrated. Breathe through it. Take your time. Research the questions. And that's the thing too, just like sometimes we got to, you know, study, take a break, study, take a break. But if you can't find the answer, there's always answers to the questions. So seek the answers. And then also don't do things by yourself. Like if you have a group, if there's like a study group or a group out there, see if there's people in your sector that can help you. Peer-to-peer help is extremely helpful. Good morning. Good morning. Vanessa says, I get anxiety when I'm always trying to help my mom. And yesterday I was in a mood about something and I tell her, I know, and she tells me, you don't know what you're doing, and treats me like a child. Vanessa, I don't know if you were here when we had a conversation about parents, but y'all have to start making your parents address you like adults. That's a whole nother topic, but you look, y'all, let me say this because I had this conversation with somebody else. We don't owe our parents anything. I will say it again for those in the back. We don't owe our parents anything. The Bible asks us to honor thy mother, thy father all the days in our lives. We talked about honor. Honor is respecting them. That is it. That is not being belittled by our parents. That is not being bulldozed by our parents. That's not being allowing them to have negativity towards us. We can set boundaries with our parents. We can tell them, hey, I don't want to have these conversations. I don't want you to talk to me like that. I don't, you know, I'd rather not talk about it. Thank you, Mom. I appreciate your point, but we can change the topic. And if they find that that's rude or disrespectful, that's their problem. And I'm sorry. I just move differently. Like, we are adults now. I want everybody to understand. Everybody's watching. There ain't no kids on this. Ain't no kids on this stream. Y'all, we are adults. We have to start setting boundaries with everyone in our lives that makes us uncomfortable. I don't care if it's your significant other. It's things I tell my honey, like, hey, I don't like that. Don't say that to me, or don't talk to me like that, or whatever the case may be, because everybody has different perceptions. And just because you're their child does not mean that you have to be treated like a child. You know, if my parents did not respect me, they would not have a relationship with me. And I know that sounds cold to some people, but it is what it is. That's my boundary with everybody, because I give everybody respect and I deserve respect in return. I am not a child anymore. I'm not in your home. You do not pay my bills or take care of me. So in honor of my 33 grown self, you have to respect me in order to be in my life. Now, does that make people uncomfortable sometimes? Absolutely. Especially old school parents that, you know, and people that aren't outside of, and some people aren't in my culture. So, you know, do what your culture can handle. I know ain't nobody touching me. You know, some people can be in cultures where their parents can still put their hands on them at a grown age. Absolutely not, in my personal opinion. But you have to set those boundaries with people. You have to stick up for yourself, not go back to your 12-year-old self or your younger self, because sometimes we can do that mentally. We can go back to our younger selves and, you know, shrink down. And because they're our parents, you don't have to take it. You don't have to take any type of verbal abuse, mental abuse, physical abuse from your parent. If they start talking about something, you can say, you know what? I'd rather change the subject. I'm sorry. I don't want to have this conversation. Thank you for your opinion. I don't want to have this conversation. And you don't have to listen to them. Y'all, we don't need our parents' permission to do anything. You don't need your parents' permission to do anything. So stop. Do not seek validation. Do not seek their approval. Don't seek their applause. And, you know, we wanted them to be proud of us, but we got to stop seeking that and just be self-sufficient with I can pat myself on the back. I can get approval from myself. I can determine things for myself. You know, you establish what you want their opinions on and what you don't. Hey, Mom, what do you think about this? Or if they give you your opinion, thank you for your opinion, but that's really not what I wanted to, you know, that's not something that I wanted to know. I didn't ask for that opinion. Thank you. And that could be rude to people. To me, it's not rude because I'm not being disrespectful. I'm being direct. There's a difference between being direct and disrespectful. Disrespectful is cussing your parents out. Disrespectful is saying things out of turn. Disrespectful is getting sad, you know, not sassy, but, you know, saying something disrespectful and hitting below the belt. And I know that's long-winded, but I have these conversations with so many people on a daily basis. And it's like, y'all, we have to grow up. We have to grow up. We are not kids anymore. And that's not no shade to whoever made the comment. It's just that this conversation has been coming in my life a lot with a lot of people. And y'all, we are grown now. We are grown. Okay, so I hope that helped a little bit, but stop letting people rain on your parade. Stop letting people infiltrate, you know, even if it's your parents. And I'm sorry that happened to you, but that's, man, I'm hearing that conversation a lot. Hi, Authenticating Beauty. I definitely battle with this after high school. College was the first time I really academically challenged. I was really academically challenged, and that urge to withdraw was real. Wow. I hope you didn't. And because, you know, probably high school was so easy to you, and then college, you actually had to apply yourself. You're like, wait a minute, I'm not used to this. So hopefully you did not withdraw Authenticating Beauty. Hi, I'm watching new from New Orleans. Oh, New Orleans is one of my favorite cities. So happy to be watching live. Well, thank you and welcome. Thank you, Jessica. I love New Orleans. I absolutely love New Orleans. Lindy says, good morning, Queen. Hey, good morning, Miss Linda. Apologies for the later up. No problems. An excellent read or e-listen is your recommendation. Rachel Rogers, We Should All Be Millionaires. Ooh, I need to read that. Oh, no, I did read that. I'm listening to it on Audible. Please add it to your must reads. Okay, I will. Yes, you guys. So I'm listening to We Should All Be Millionaires, and this is a really good book by Rachel Rogers. I downloaded this on Audible. I have to finish it, but yes, that is a good one. So if you guys need some money tips and from a Black woman, this is a really, really good book. Thank you for the reminder, Miss Linda. Oh, have a great day. Found it on Amazon. Good. On the last chapter. Absolutely. Kiki says, what's the name of the book? 9 Things Successful People Do Differently, KK. 9 Things Successful People Do Differently. Let's see. Percy says, yes, me and my dad had several conversations where he still treats me like I'm still 23. As an adult, I've distanced myself from him at one time for 3 months just to send him a message. I'm serious. Sometimes you gotta show people with your actions. So good for you, Percy. I hope your relationship is better, though. I do want us to have good relationships with our parents. I just don't think that they should be one-sided, where we're constantly disrespected, we're constantly belittled, we're constantly talked down to, and we're supposed to take it like a punching bag and expect to be good children. No, because the Bible says, honor thy mother, thy father all the days in our lives. But the next verse says, parents do not provoke your children. They don't talk about that part. We get mad, y'all. We get mad that they be messing with y'all like that. Edwin says, thank you, Brittany. You are a blessing. And you, Scott. Thank you. I really appreciate that. Yes, I stuck it out. Good job, Authenticating Beauty. I'm so happy you stuck it out. I'm so happy you stuck it out. Linda said, this is truth. Love mom and grandmother. I was addressed by my son one day when he said, and when he was becoming, oh, it's levels of respect, and he had to demand it from me. Absolutely. Like, you have to teach people how to treat you. Now, if you're gonna, you know, shrink up and become a young kid in front of your parents at a grown age, of course they're gonna treat you like kids. People treat you how you allow them to treat you. It don't matter who it is. And people are very unconscious of how they do things and how they operate and how they treat people. So they're like, well, I've been treating you like this my whole life. That doesn't mean it's right. You know what I mean? Thank you, Linda. She Amber says, I want to see New Orleans because of Nemo, and I don't want to visit. I do want to visit. I heard it's beautiful. It's really, really a fun city. I love Canal Street. I love Royal Street. I love Bourbon Street. It's a really, 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 really good. The food in New Orleans is so good. Yeah, it is. I love New Orleans. New Orleans is one of those places like there's no other city in America like New Orleans. I mean, that's like most cities, right? There's no city like another city, but there's something I love about New Orleans. I spent 2 birthdays back to back there. That's how much I love that city. City is so much fun. But I couldn't live there. No shade. Cannot live in New Orleans, but it's so beautiful. I love there. I love New Orleans. My biggest hurdle was learning to ask for help, even if I battled with believing in me. That didn't mean other people didn't want to help me, tutors, therapists, mentors, and all of that. Thank you. Thank you for sharing that. That's very true. Like, man, we have to believe in ourselves, and what we believe is our reality, you guys. If you believe you can't, you won't. If you believe you should, you will. If you believe that you should be treated with respect, you'll demand it. If you believe that people, your parents, can do whatever they want to because they're your parents, then that's the experience you're going to have. You really, really, really set the tone for your life. You have every opportunity. There's studies that have shown you have every opportunity to improve your abilities. You have every opportunity to enhance and continue to grow. And you do not have to be this person or stuck like this, or this is the only thing that you're good at, or this is the only thing, this is the only life that you can have. You can have so much more, but you have to demand it from yourself and the world and go out there and hustle for it. Ms. Linda says, parents are used to parenting and not advising. Ooh, it's the next level of parenting. Facts. I love that. Yeah, because you have to, I think that when, imagine, right, like for those of you who don't have kids, imagine raising somebody for 18 years and then, and them always being one way in your mind. You know, you had to tell them to clean their room. You had to tell them to do this, tell them to do that. And then they're an adult. You're not, people don't switch. Okay, my child's an adult now. Now I'm going to treat them like this. I mean, some people do, but some people don't. They're just subconsciously continuing the relationship. So you have to set that standard and that boundary and that thing. And if they want a relationship with you, if they want to honor themselves and respect you the way that they demand the same respect, then they have to follow suit. Because if I had a child and my child came to me and said, hey, Ma, when you say this to me, it hurts my feelings, or I feel disrespected when you tell me this, I want to change my behavior because I'm never going to want my child to make to feel that I'm purposely trying to hurt them. Because you're going to make, I'm sure parents make mistakes all the time. There's no book, right? But I would never want to purposely hurt my child's feelings or purposely do anything damaging. So I feel like if the parent is in sound mind and body and they're aware and you let them know, then they'll change. And if they don't change, they're showing you that they don't care, that they're selfish and they're only thinking about themselves. It's that simple. And then you can really take your feelings off the table and say, oh, that's a problem with you. That has nothing to do with me, because you don't see that I'm telling you, I'm setting a boundary with you. I feel disrespected. I feel unheard. And you're going to continue to have that behavior because you care more about what you want to do than my feelings and how I feel. That shows me that you're immature. That's how I process things in my mind. If you approach your parents, we have a few minutes. If you approach your parents and you say, hey, I know that this is how we've been doing things. And I don't like when you talk to me like that. I don't like when you say certain things. It hurts my feelings. You got to be honest and get your emotions in check. And you have to be honest and very vulnerable in these moments. It's going to hurt. It's uncomfortable. But if you say, you know, when you do that, when you talk to me like that, it's really disrespectful. I get that you talk to me like that my whole life. I'm an adult now and I'm setting a new boundary. I don't want you to do that to me anymore. It doesn't make me feel good. It doesn't make our relationship better. It doesn't make me want to be around you when you do those things. If they take that, which most 9 times out of 10 people take that and they internalize it and then they spaz out, that's just showing you their level of maturity mentally for themselves. Now, if they're emotional mature and if they're mature in their mind, and again, maturity doesn't have anything to do with age. If they're mature enough, then they'll hear you out, they'll change their behavior and they'll listen. If they're immature, because everybody can have immature parents, then they'll take that, internalize it and flip it and probably make you feel like you're a bad child because you're talking to your parent like this, blah, 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 blah. All of that is mind manipulation. All of that is, again, not worried about you and your feelings and what you need and your boundaries. That's how they want to continue to live their lives and act towards you. So you have to make the determination if that's something that you want to deal with or not. It's hard, but it's needed. It's hard, but it's needed. Let's see. Family believe it. CC Wines. That's why I left and went to school. So my mom can't tell me what to do. It's my life, not hers. Sometimes you do got to get away. Thank you, Ms. Linda. And Ms. Linda's a whole mom. So she told me I'm saying right. So really, New Orleans. Love you all. Thank you. Yes. Love New Orleans. Once you share your thoughts with your parents, I promise they will follow suit in the name of Jesus, y'all. Yes, if they are in sound mind and body and they are mature, they will take. Nobody wants to hurt their children. If they love you, nobody wants to make their children feel bad or uncomfortable. Sometimes people are just unaware of their actions and they don't know until you tell them. So just give it time, set your boundaries, make it plain, like, hey, These are my boundaries. And if they cross them, then you have to move different. You wouldn't let anybody in a relationship disrespect you. So why in any other relationship is that okay? Whether that be friend or parent. Good morning. Okay, so you guys. So I hope you guys have a great one. Do not forget to pick up the book, 9 Things Successful People Do Differently, How to Have Grit. You guys can make anything happen that you want. You just have to first believe it is true and put in that time, that work, that effort, and give yourself that time and that flexibility to learn. And don't put too much pressure on yourself, and you can make anything possible. Okay, you guys, I hope you guys have a beautiful and blessed day, and I will see you all tomorrow. Bye, y'all.